I'm going to be reading from John, chapter 12, verses 20 through 33. Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the feast. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a quick request. "Sir," they said, "we would like to see Jesus." Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip in turn told Jesus. Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Now my heart is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven. "I have glorified it and will glorify it again." The crowd that was there and heard it said it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. Jesus said, "This voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. But I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself." He said this to show the kind of death he was going to die.
A reading from Psalm 51, verses 1 through 12. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you and you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Surely you desire truth in inner parts. You teach me wisdom in the inmost place. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me.
Well, it's been a doozy of a week. As the cliche goes, when it rains, it pours. What really did me in this week were the demands of impact and the constant state of tension this week before the annual Nehemiah action, which is tomorrow at John Paul Jones Arena at 6:30 p.m. Since November, I've been researching the problem of youth unemployment in Charlottesville as a volunteer for impact. As you've heard me say before, when we found that the youth unemployment rate in Charlottesville for people under 30 was 14%, we were shocked. That number was three times higher than the general unemployment rate. But there are jobs in Charlottesville. In fact, there are five jobs for every one person looking for work. We found all sorts of reasons for that gap in connectivity, not the least of which being that many young people choose to go into fields that are already saturated, while areas with the growing job demand, like healthcare and technology, are consistently under-enrolled. Our system of connecting the local education system to the local workforce is often not enough. After many hours of research and interviews with local workforce experts, we as a research team propose a solution, a healthcare training collaborative, modeled after a similar successful collaborative in Cincinnati. With a training collaborative, Martha Jefferson Hospital, University of Virginia Hospital, would work directly with local education institutions like PVCC and K-Tech. To reduce barriers to education like high tuition costs, transportation, and childcare, while creating a clear pipeline so that jobs are waiting at the other end of training. However, in order to create this Health Careers Training Collaborative, we needed five organizations to be on board with us. Martha Jefferson, University of Virginia Health System, PBCC, K-Tech, and the One Stop Employment Center. This is the most ambitious project Impact has ever taken on. As we sat down with each of these stakeholders individually, our meetings went really well. Everyone agreed that unemployment was a problem and that the need for trained healthcare workers is growing. Everyone agreed that this healthcare collaborative was a good idea. K-Tech and Martha Jefferson even verbally agreed to come to the Nehemiah Action. The other three seemed on board, but were less willing to send anyone to make a public statement saying so. As one of the steering committee members, it fell to me to call and meet with the president of Piedmont Virginia Community College, PVCC, and the president of Thomas Jefferson Partnership for Economic Development, TJ Ped, who runs the One Stop Center and the Piedmont Workforce Network. It was totally disheartening and felt personally defeating to be told, sometimes in a very tense manner, that although they agreed with the healthcare training collaborative, they refused to come to the Nehemiah Action tomorrow. I felt the tension between speaking on behalf of the young unemployed of Charlottesville and wanting to be reasonable in my expectations of high-level officials who represent even larger organizations than Impact. As we engaged in deeper and deeper dialogue with the presidents of PBCC and TJ Ped, the tone became more and more tense. At one point, I was accused of blackmail. I don't know if you guys can picture me trying to blackmail someone, but it's a little bit laughable. Another time, I was trying to make an important phone call to the president of TJ Ped with Lucy in the back seat of the car. In the middle of asking the president how long it would take her to confer with her board, I was interrupted by Lucy screaming at the top of her lungs, "Mama, I need help! My headband came off." On Thursday, during a run-through for the Nehemiah Action, the research committee received the news that both Martha Jefferson and K-Tech had decided not to come to the Nehemiah Action after talking with PVCC. Just a few weeks ago, they were all on board, and today they refused to even engage in dialogue. What did this mean for our Nehemiah Action tomorrow? The situation looked bleak. But it isn't just community organizers and justice workers that experience challenge and intense situations on a regular basis. You yourself have probably faced a life situation where you put your all into a project or an event or a person, only to turn around and realize that failure or disappointment or even death seemed imminent. As the Lenten verse today from the book of John, Jesus was also sitting at that moment where death was imminent. He is predicting his death to his disciples. He knows where his ministry is leading, to the agony and the suffering of the cross. And while his soul is troubled, he knows that his death must occur. In verse 27, he says, "Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, for it was for this very reason that I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Jesus knows that ultimately God will triumph over death itself. And we too can trust God to transform situations in our lives and world that need to be transformed. God brings fruit from even the most hopeless and challenging situations. We live in an Easter world. We live in a world post-death. I know that God will do this with Impact as well. As the Impact Research Committee and Executive Board came together to discuss next steps, I've never been so proud to be a part of an organization. I've had my frustrations with Impact's tactics and processes in the past. We all have. But not in the last few days. In essence, we've had to do what Jesus did in this verse. Did we say, "Save me from the Nehemiah Action"? No. For this is the very reason Impact exists, to glorify God's name. The Nehemiah Action tomorrow will be the first step on the way to glorifying God's name in an even greater way. With the denial of these leaders coming to the action, my ego died. The Nehemiah Action Tomorrow is no longer about Impact saying or doing the right thing to convince community leaders to buy into an idea. The Nehemiah Action Tomorrow is about God and God's people who are suffering. The action will focus on the 3,000 unemployed young people in Charlottesville and the 1,500 Impact members present, including you, who can do something about it. If God can revive the dead, he can and he will bring fruit to even this hopeless situation. I know that God can bring new life because he did for me, even in the craziness of this week. What could have been a soul-crushing week was full of life. After months of searching, my husband Caleb was finally offered a job this week. My uncle, who I've asked for you all to pray for in the past, had a kidney transplant on Tuesday, leaving us all on the edge of our seats to see if he would awaken afterwards. A tear came to my eye, and still does, when I saw the video of my mom that sent the next day of him waking up for surgery and saying, "I'm all right." I also counted down the days until birth with Sean and Rachel Gerber, going out to eat and getting Rachel to order the spiciest food on the menu, hoping to send her into labor. You can tell it didn't work. But life comes amidst death, and life comes amidst confusion. With Impact and in life, we are literally amidst God's transformation. It's a scary and exciting time. So tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. at the John Paul Jones Arena, I invite you to extend yourself with the assurance that in the economy of God's kingdom, all our small sacrifices are magnified and bear much fruit. Your sacrifice of a Monday night will not go unnoticed. It will be a part of God's death to life transformation. Life will prevail.